Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, last time we discussed the Gemara in two different places that talks about the bittul of the Avodah Zarah, bittul of the Yisharah for Avodah Zarah, which we went on to explain had a tremendous impact on the world. First of all, because it made it so that the people didn't believe in the Avodah Zarah anymore, and Memela, the Umas Ha'olam, the nations of the world, were found themselves in a vacuum with a need to explain their, their spiritual being in this world. All the different shailos that go along with it. What's the tachlis? Why was the person created? Is there a ruach nisdik world? The Olam Haba, Schar Vayinish, and everything. Answers that the Avodah Zarah gave them, of course, gave them in a terrible way, but answers that they got from the Avodah Zarah, now they didn't have these answers anymore, and they went searching for other answers. And as we explained, this is going to have a tremendous effect on world history up to this modern time, because we will find that this void that was found amongst the nations, there was filled, and they went to fill this void, and that's the reason why there were other religions that came up that spread very, very rapidly throughout the world. But we'll talk about that more by Arichas later on. And the second thing that we said is that as a result of the bittul of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, the Koyach HaTumah was nismayet in the world. And the Koyach HaTumah, we're referring to Kishuv, what we learn about in the Chumash again and again, that there was Koyach HaTumah, Kishuv that was found in the world, and there were people that were able to do what we would call today supernatural things. They were able to accomplish all different types of things using this Koyach. And all of this became bottle, because we mentioned, first of all, as the Koyach HaKedusha becomes nismayit in the world, and that's what we were experiencing right now, because the Nevuah became bottle with the end of the Tekufas HaNeviim and so forth and so on, but also because of the fact that the Koyach HaTumah that came about, that was a chelik of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, was also nismayit, and that came about because of the bittul of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. And so people were left in a vacuum. They used the Koyach HaTumah to do things, so now they weren't able to do it. They didn't have the method to be able to do things. All of this was brought to an end, this void was filled with the coming of the natural sciences, which we explained by Arichas came through the lessons that came from Shlomo HaMelech, who was granted from the Ribbono Shel'Olam tremendous chokhmah in the Bria, and his Talmidei Talmidim landed up in Greece, like the Kuzri says, they landed up in Greece, and that's the reason why you have in that same Tekufa, you have the philosophers springing up in Greece, and also the natural sciences, whether we talk about physics, chemistry, mathematics, medicine, all of this comes to Greece at that same Tekufa. What you have with the Gemara Yuma in front of you, I was asked yesterday to show this Gemara. Now, we need this Gemara for two different things. First, if you look in the Gemara in Yuma, so we have a couple of lines down from where the lines get wider. The Pasuk says, Vayitzaku el Hashem Elokim b'kol gadol. So the Gemara says, what did they say? Baya, baya. Hainu da'achof hal mikdosho v'kalya lehichola v'katlinu lekulo tzadike v'aglinu liyisol me'arahin v'adayim merake b'noin. They were mispalled to the Ribbono Shel Olam that this is the thing, and if you look in Rashi on the bottom last line, the wide lines, Hainu the Acher Velebe Mikdosha, Mevakshim Rachim, Shiyim Ser Biyodam, Yetzahara Shel Avaydas Kechavim. This is what they were being mispowered for, because the Yetzahara Avaydas Zara brought about the Ganzer Churban. And this is the Gemara, this is one of the two Gemaras that talks about this Barichas of how they Mavatl the Yetzahara of Avaydas Zara. Okay, and we'll come back to this Gemara, another Chelik of this Gemara a little bit later. I just wanted to, agav, mention something that we kind of all know. Once again, we all know because we know it from our limudim, but sometimes we just don't sort of put two and two together. There are many different mysterious things that are found in the Bria. What the people in the world called ancient phenomena that are found in the world. And the Goyim are not able to explain how they came about. And the truth of the matter is, we have to understand, as we're taught, that, as we mentioned, with the Koyach HaTumah, the people were able to do fantastic different things. What we today would be fantastic, in those days, that was Chochmah. And we'll soon see the Lashon of Ramban, the way Ramban says it. Now, for instance, we know that in Mitzrayim and Egypt, there are the pyramids. And I'm not going to spend too much time talking about this, but the pyramids cover a huge area of ground. It has to, the land underneath it has to be perfectly straight. Stones, huge stones, some going up to 15 tons, and they're all cut perfectly. One fits exactly into the other. They're brought there from very, very far away. And all of this needs to flatten out the ground, to measure the stones, and to lift the stones, and to bring the stones, needs many of the laws of physics that we have today, the use of levers and so forth that we have today. And levers weren't discovered yet. We know that they didn't have levers at that time. So besides the fact that it's a mystery what was going on with these pyramids, what did they want with it, you know, it's made in a very mysterious way, what did they hope to accomplish with it that they put so much effort into it, but beyond that the question is, how did they do it? Trying to figure out how they did it. Now perhaps they did it using this Koyach HaTumah that we're referring to. Now we can't prove it. But just keep in mind that there was this kayach that exists in the Bria that we learn about in the Psukim and Chumash, and that the Gemara talks about, and perhaps that's how they did it. There is another example. There's a place off the west coast of Chile, a place called Easter Island, where they have tremendous stone statues, 1,000 of them. Some of them they go from 20 tons to 90 tons. Huge, huge statues. They stare out into the sea. Now, there are no stones on this island. And the question is, how did they get them there? How did they cross the ocean with them? That's also a question. What are these things doing, staring out across the ocean? But besides that, the question is, how did they get them there? Now, the truth of the matter is, there are books that are written about this. There are thousands, literally thousands of different mysterious things that are found in different countries of the world that they're not able to explain how these things came about. And not that we claim that we know the answer. However, what we do know is that perhaps we have the answer, and that we have to keep in mind that there was a koyach that was found in the Bria. And we can't put this aside. This is not something that we could forget about. This was a tremendous kayach. Now, I gave you the Ramban. If you see the one sheet that says on top of it, Teres Hashem Tamima. And here we're going to see how the Ramban brings this all together. And we're going to go back to what we were discussing last time. The Greeks were the students of the natural sciences. And they explain things, or they try to explain things, using the natural, we would call today natural or physical forces that are found in the Bria. and that's how they would explain things. They denied the existence of the koyach of ruchnius. Okay, we call the spiritual koyach that's found in the Bria. They denied that there was such a thing, and they tried to explain everything using their theories, their physical, let's call it physical theory, or the natural sciences as we call it today. And by explaining things using the natural sciences, they denied the existence of the ruchniistic world. Now, we have to understand what this means to us, denying the existence of the ruchniistic world. This is the ganze yisoid of our emunah, is of course based on the fact that we have, that we live in a ruch, besides with the fact that we live in a gashmiistic world, that we live in a ruchniistic world. This is the whole yisoid of Schar V'Einish, of Hashgacha Pratis, and so forth, the union of Tefillah, of the union of Olam Haba. Everything is wrapped around this. And once again, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, when there were constantly nisim that were taking place in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Hamikdash, when there was Nevuah that was found, so it would be impossible for anybody to deny that there was such a koyach. Also, in the Lezel Umazeh, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, when there was this koyach of Kishuv that was found in the world, so mitzad this also, it would be impossible for a person to deny that there was such a ruchniistic koyach that was found in the world. But now that we are in the time after Purim, okay, so that's what you call the watershed time. We're talking about after Purim. And Purim was the Zman, was the nest that was Megala to us, that from now on, no more, and like we said, soon we're going to see one more, but no more will we have Nisim Geluyim in front of us, but there's only going to be Nisim Nistorim, where we're going to be able to see from the Bria, by studying the Bria, we're going to have to study it well, and from there see the Koyach of Ruchnis, and see the Yad Hashem that was found in the Bria, Teuchte Hester upon him. So now the Greeks showed their head, using the Chachma that came from Shlomo. So we understand this Chachma, we have nothing against the Chachma. The Chachma is Bahari Kodesh, it comes from Shlomo HaMelech himself. It's what the Greeks did with that Chachma. Instead of using it as Shlomo HaMelech used that Chachma to show the Gavus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, they used that Chachma in order to Chalila deny the existence of the Bari Olam in the Bria. So, for that and that is the Nisoyin, is one of the Ikar Nisoyinus that we face in the Golus that we live in today. Doing battle with this type of an understanding that comes from the Chochmas of Yovan. Now again, if you take a look at this Ramban, I'm just going to read from you, this is one of the Kisvei Ramban, I'm just going to read for you a few lines before what you have over there, but I would like to read it. Ramban, so we just read 3-4 words and then you'll be able to follow on the sheet that you have. Rabban says, Kol mi sheyis chadash leidavar keneged hatelada. If somebody is able to do something which is different than what's natural, bein al yedei hachatumim hamachashvim, whether it's, now this is what it says on top, Teres Hashem Tumima, bein al yedei hachatumim hamachashvim, whether you change the telada, the natural force, whether you change it through the chatumim and the machashvim, Bein al yedei navi, or whether you change it through a navi, bein miyad yeda v'yamin bechidush. So then, obviously, you have to believe in chidush ha'olam because there is no natural. Things don't happen naturally. There is a supernatural. Now the Ramban goes on. Umikan tira achzorius reish hafilosufim. Over here, you will see the achzorius of the head of the philosophers. And the Pashtas, he is referring to Aristotle. The Kushav, Yemach Shemai, Shumachish Kama Dvorim Sherobu Rabim, Sherobu Rabim. He denies many things that many, many people saw. We saw our Oves Aveisenu saw Nisim Vinifloys, Keseda. So we have it, the Mesaira from them. So we know that there is such a koyach in the Bria. V'ra'inu anachnu amitusam v'nisparsimu ba'aylam. And we saw its emis, and it was nisparsim in the Welt. U'ba'aysam hazmanim hakadmainim, and the Ramban says, in those ancient times, k'goyin yomim shal Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom, ha'yunaydim l'kol. Everybody, even the Goyim, knew that there was such a koyach. And here are the key words that we're looking for. Ki achachmais ba'aysay hador ha'yukulam ruchniyais. The wisdoms that were found in that generation, and he's referring even to the Goyish wisdoms, were all ruchnis. So like today you have the natural scientists, they're the chachamim of our generation, the chachmas umes ha'ilam of our generation. So in those generations, the chachmas umes ha'ilam were the chachamim who was from Zichbanutz. They used this chachma that was involved with ruchnias, like he meant the chartumim u'mechashvim, kingoin in yonei hashedim v'mechashvim u'meni haktoreis le'mulechas hashamayim, all these different types of avodah zarah that they were able to use. So this was the chokhmah that was found at that time. And once again, I'd like to stress it again. Today, the chachmei umas ha'olam are the scientists. Then the chachmei umas ha'olam were the mechashvim. So if a person doesn't feel good, he goes to the chacham, the roife, bizmanenu. In those days also he went to the chacham, the roife, that didn't banutz natural methods of cures, but he banutzed in the malam and ateva. Now if you look down a couple of lines, the Ramban is going to repeat himself again, we have underlined, the kasha kamu ha'yavonim. And when the Yevonim came about, the Greeks came about, v'heim am chodosh, the Greeks are a new nation, meaning, shalei nochalu chachma, they don't have a Yerusha of chachma, they don't have a Messiah, the Greeks don't have a Messiah. Kashabia bal sefer akuzri, kom ha'ish hayadua v'loi hemin rak bimurgash, he only believed in something that is physical, something that he was able to be margish, he's able to relate to with his senses, he's able to see it, to hear it, to touch it. The chifesh chachmais murgoshais, the chichish haruchnis, he denied and he searched for answers using the physical chachmas, and he denied the ruchnistic chachmas. And with that he denied that there is such a thing as the koyach of kishuv. Not only did he deny that there is such a thing as the koyach hakedusha, but lahavdil, he even denied that there was the koyach of kishuv, because by admitting to the koyach of kishuv, that would force him to admit to the ruchniyistic world, and that's what he didn't want to face up to. So in this over here we have what the Ramban points out for us, what were the ancient chachmas and what were the chachmas that we have today. And if we look in the hagois that we have over here on the bottom, the Ramban says that even in our days, if you look on the left column, the third line, Kishamati bebiru sheminig almunyay, I don't know who this is, laasei bedivrei hashedim umashbiyam oisam. So the Ramban says that even in his time, there were people that were Isaac and Ninyanim of Shadim. So once again, to deny it, the Ramban says, even today, we're not able to deny it. Now, I want to show you something of interest. If you look in the third page that I gave you, is the Sefer Nishmas Chaim, Maimer HaShlishi. Okay, you have that. This is a sefer that was written by a person whose name was Menashe ben Yisrael, and perhaps all the way later on we'll talk about him also. Very important person in world history. Menashe ben Yisrael lived after the time of the expulsion of the Yidden from Spain. He was a rav in Amsterdam, and he had a lot of influence with the government. And again, we'll discuss him hopefully at a later time. But in the sefer, he talks about how we know from many different methods the existence of the neshama, that a person has a neshama. And in this, what you have over here in front of you is the same yisoid that we mentioned, that with the kayach, as nevuah was nostalgic from Klal Yisrael, so also the kayach of the shadim was nostalgic. The kayach atuma was nostalgic. So that's what he explains here by Arichas, which we already discussed. And then, if you look on the left column, about three quarters of the way up, he asks a very interesting question. He says, "In tiksha alai shlo pasku mikol v'kol." He says, it's not so, like I said, that no more do you find the kayach atuma in the Bria. He says, it's not so. Because he says, if you go to the Iyim Hama'arovim, in some places in the West, if you want to ask something from the Satan, so there is a person who, he calls it Shaisa Echa Mayhem Ha'esav. I don't know if he means to drink it or to smoke it. Something called Piyuta. And he gets Shikha from smoking this. He goes into a trance and he falls to the ground. This person that smoked this stuff, and this is getting all frightening over here, but hopefully we don't have this around here. V'hashed nichnas boy, and he says that the shade goes into this person. V'shoyim enu davar, and they're able to ask this person after he takes this drug, so they're able to ask him all kinds of different things. So, and he says that they're also able to say things about the future. And how do we know that this is true? So he says, because it has come to us, people that were expelled from Portugal, right? We know they even left Spain, and then a little while afterwards they were driven out of Portugal. So the people that were driven out of Portugal came to Haidu. So Haidu is India. And he says, Kikfahoya mefursa meneyem inyan bi osam laaretz. When they got there, so the people in India were waiting for them. Yeah, I knew you were coming. Kasha hashedim higidu lahem, because the shedim said that they were coming. And Shain, so he says, so you see, he's asking this on Akasha, so he says, so you see that there is such a thing, even bismanenu, that there are people that are able to tell the future, they're able to do all kinds of things. So he says a fantastic thing. He says that in the Pasuk it says that Avram Avinu ulbinei ha-pilakshim asher la-Avram nosan Avram matonis v'yishalchim me'al Yitzchok b'noi ba'edenu chai kedmo al-eretz kedem. And Rashi over there says that what kind of a matona did Avram Avinu give to the b'nei ha-pilakshim? So Rashi says he gave them the Shem HaTumah. Of course, it's a mystery. Why did he give them the Shem HaTumah? For what reason did he give them the Shem HaTumah? So that's not something for us to talk about now. But Rashi says that he gave to the B'nai HaPilakshim, he gave them the Shem HaTumah, and he sent them, the Pasuk says, Vayishalch Ma'yitzok B'nai B'denuchai Kedmo El Eretz Kedem. So he says that it's known that they sent them to El Eretz Madincha, Chihoidu, which is India. And the Ramban says, Vem Oidom Machzikim B'matnas Aviyim Ad Yovei Tzedek Oilomim. He says that, the Menashe Ben Yisrael says, that the B'nai Avraham, if you want to know where the B'nai Apilakshim are, so anybody wants to look for this long-lost cousin of ours, but after he describes them, I don't know if we want to find them. He says that they're in Haidu. They're in India someplace. And the reason that they were able to hold on to this Kayach HaTumah when everybody else lost this Kayach HaTumah was because they had it as a matana from Avram Avinu. And being that it was a matana from Avram Avinu, so therefore it's Kayam even till today. So, obviously, and I was told by some people that that even till today that there is such talk that there are people in places like India where till today they are able to do such things. So he says, therefore, the reason that it was Kayim like this was because it came through Avraham Avinu. But we don't really have to worry about it too much, because that's only over there. And as far as we're concerned, in the countries that we live in, so it's in Gans and Nisfalik. But once again, I just want to continue this train of thought and look at the Ramban that we have at the end of Parshas Bo'i. This is the other Ramban that we have at the end of Parshas Bo'i, the famous Ramban. The Ramban first says over the same Nakuda that we saw in the Sefer, the Ramban of Teres Hashem Tmima, where he says that the Meifes Hanifla Meira Sheyesh Lo'olam Aleka Mechatshei V'yedeo Mashkiach V'yochol, that by seeing supernatural things, by seeing these Koiches Nebriya, so we know that there is a Bari Olam, and we know that there is a Mashgiach on the Bria, and that comes about through the Oseis Meisim that we saw. And then the Ramban says, and this you have on the column on the left side, that's underlined, so he says that being that you don't have these miracles, these different things that go keneged the Teva, happening on a regular basis, Yitzava Isanu Shinase Tomid Zikorin Va'ois Asheru Einenu. That's the reason why, the Ramban says, we are, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mitzava us, that we should have a zikaron and a ois to this which we saw with our own eyes. So the nisim v'neflois that took place in our past are very, very important, because it tells us over these different nekudas. But being that this doesn't happen keseder, that doesn't happen mizmanenu, these neflois, so therefore the Ribbono Shel told us that we should do different things to remind ourselves of these nisim v'neflois. So we sit down every year Pesach, we eat matzah, we eat maror, we make the seder, all the yom tovim, zechel yitzias mitzrayim, sukkos anani akoved, and so forth and so on. As we go on and on and on, we're going to talk about Hanukkah, which is a zikaron for a nes, which once again actually took place after this whole story. But the reason the Ramban says that we have to do this is because we have to remind ourselves of the nisim v'neflois, and for many reasons, but one reason is because our knowing that there is a ruchniistic world, and which we see through the nisim v'neflois, the changing of the teva that takes place, l'malam in our teva, so that gives us the basis of our Amunah. This is a very strong Nekuda B'negeya to our Amunah. And now, towards the end of this Ramban, we again have the famous Ramban, and this, here, the Ramban, the way we're explaining it, is telling us what our Avodah is Bizmanenu. And the Ramban, let's read from the Ramban inside. The Ramban says, Min anisim hagdoilam ha-mefursamim, and from the Nisim Gedolim HaMufursam, from the Kriyas Yamsuf, and from the Esamakis, Adam Moide Benisim HaNistorim, Shehem Yesoid HaTorah Kula. From there you get to understand and to believe into the Nisim HaNistorim, which is the basis of Kol HaTorah Kula. She'ein la'odam chelik b'teiras Moshe Rabbeinu ad she'namin b'chol dvareinu mikreinu she'kulam nisim. Everything that you have that goes on in the Bria is a Nes. Ein behem teva u'minhogei shel olam. There is no such thing as teva. Everything is a Nes. I guess with this Ramban, if we had to describe what does it mean a Nes, what does it mean teva? The definition of teva is a Nes that happens constantly. A Nes that happens constantly, so that by definition is teva. But the fact that it happens constantly shouldn't be a reason for us not to recognize the fact that it's a nes. It's nachals hanes. If anything, it's even a bigger nes, because it happens constantly. It happens keseda. So if we stop and we look at it and we study it, so then it should be even a bigger chizik for us, because we're keseda surrounded by nisim. So the Ramban here gives us a tremendous insight, and this is what we're all about today. As you mentioned, the Greeks denied that in Teva is Nes, that Teva itself doesn't have a simple physical explanation. Teva itself, if we don't study it properly, so there is no such thing as Teva. There is no simple explanation or physical explanation for what's going on around us. It's not so. It's only all nisim, and this is what the Greeks are denying, and this is our nisoyin today. This is what our aveda in this hestaponim is all about. This issue that we have back and forth with the Greeks, and the Ramban spells it out for us very, very in no uncertain terms, like they say. Our job in this golus that we have, we were under the thumb of the Greeks, is to look into Teva and to see in the Teva the Yad Hashem. We mentioned this all the way in the first in our first session. Look into history, and in history one event leads to another. No, one event doesn't necessarily lead to the other, especially when it comes to studying our history. If we study it properly, so we're going to see, we're going to be able to see the Epsaruchnis, the Kakayach, the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that pushes things along. And once again, this is the battle that we have, this constant battle that we have together, that we have against the Greeks. Let's maybe just spend a few minutes just talking about this a little bit more. We know that there's a Kayach in the Bria called gravity. Gravity means that smaller objects are drawn to larger objects. Why are smaller objects drawn to larger objects? And by the way, that's the reason why if you throw something up in the air, it comes down. The reason it comes down is because the earth is bigger than anything around us. The mass of the earth is bigger than anything around us. So whatever you're going to throw up into the air is going to come down, because the earth is bigger than the object that you're throwing. That's gravity. Now, why do smaller objects, why are they attracted to larger objects? The answer to that is because that's the law of gravity. Who passed the law? Where does this law come from? It's true, there's a law of gravity. But why should there be such a law? Who made the law? Now, this is a very good law to have, because if it wouldn't be for this law, so then people would float off of the earth. We'd be floating into space. We wouldn't be able to keep our feet on the ground. Not only that, but we all know that the world is round, and half the time we're really standing on our heads. And the pella of this whole thing is that not only are we attached to the earth, even though we're kind of standing on our heads, but we don't even realize that we're standing on our heads, right? We always think that we're standing on our feet. But the truth of the matter is, gravity has a tazam in koyach that we don't even sense. And that's the reason why people thought the world was flat. Because, I mean, we would also think the world was flat. Nobody thinks that they're standing upside down. Everybody would, I'm sure, would easily make a shvua that we're standing right side up. And the reason that we sense this is because there's a kayach of gravity. If it wouldn't be for gravity, the rain would not fall down. Rain would fall wherever. Not necessarily down. Things would not grow. If it wouldn't be for gravity, so when you have the earth is going around the sun, if it wouldn't be for the gravitational pull that pulls the earth towards the sun, so the earth would spin out into the atmosphere. And in a very, very short amount of time, we would all freeze, because we'd be far away from the sun. So we need the kayach of gravity in order to be able to keep us in that position next to the sun. So gravity, wonderful law. Who passed this law? We're learning now Parshas Chukas. This is from the gravities from the Chukas Habriya. There's another law we have. The other law is called inertia. Inertia, also very, very good Zach inertia. If it wouldn't be for inertia, then, the only law we would have would be gravity, and we wouldn't have the law of inertia, so that instead of the earth going around the sun, the kayach of gravity would schlep the earth into the sun, and chalila, we'd all burn to death. So now we have the kayach of inertia, this law of inertia, that goes hand in hand with the law of gravity, and we're exactly in the right spot, so we're able to survive. Now, who passed all of these laws? We have another law that's found in the Bria, that if you have a vacuum, air rushes in order to fill the vacuum. Air goes to where there was a vacuum. Mary the Gezach, because as far as we could see, air has no seichel. Yet air is able to sense that someplace there's a void, there's a vacuum, and it rushes to fill up that vacuum. That makes it so that we can have winds, very important, because if we wouldn't have winds, so amongst all the other problems we would have in the world, the clouds, well, the water vapor would rise, which is another issue, rising water vapor. But anyway, water vapor would rise from the oceans up into the air and would rain down again into the ocean. So you'd have the water going up, water going down, but the ocean doesn't need water. We need water. So now because of this other law that was passed, so the clouds go up into the sky, and then the winds come along, and they push it. And the reason the winds push it is because the air senses that there's a vacuum someplace, and in the process of filling that vacuum, it pushes the clouds along with it, and we're nena from this because of the fact that that it rains on the earth, and now things are able to grow. Well, who passed all of these laws? Who made all of these laws, that all these laws should exist, and we could really spend hours and hours and probably years just discussing the benefit that we have from all of these laws. And the only thing that they could tell us is, well, that's the way it is. When we stop and say, well, why is it like that? The language that the Ramban uses, Mi sha'amar l'shemen sheyadlik, yoyimar l'chaymet sheyadlik. Why does Shemen burn? Why not the other one? Because this one has the koyach to burn, and the other one doesn't have the koyach to burn. Well, why does this one have the koyach to burn? The other one doesn't have the koyach. Well, so at the end of the whole story, if somebody sits and is honest, so then he sees the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. They tell over the Maisa that there was a scientist one that came to Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he said that of the neflois of the Bria, you see the tremendous kayach, how these different powers that are found in the Bria work together, how the gravity complements the inertia and so forth and so on, how they work together in order that the world should be able to exist. And he chopped his pilots from that point. So the Rebbein said that this is the pshat, as I was told over, that this is the pshat, that the whole Bria sings Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's harmony in the Bria. A song is nice when the song comes with harmony. There's harmony in the Bria. All of these different kaiches that you have in the Bria are not independent kaiches. Are not independent kaiches, but each kayach, each object, each force that you have in the Bria works in harmony together with other kaiches in the Bria. That's the Shira, the song that the Bria sings to Ribbono Shel Olam. We could discuss this on another level. Ecology, when you talk about ecology that's found in the Bria, you have lower level objects that feed the higher level objects, and that's how the Bria's Keseda are able to be mechadish itself. And today, where we have situations where the Chachomim in the Bria called man sometimes get involved, and they start messing with the Bria and taking out certain parts of the ecology that are found in the Bria. So they not only is that one object missing, but it messes up the whole Bria, because there's a balance in the Bria. If you take away one thing, so what are you left with? And this is the Shira of the Bria that's found in Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's for us, as the Ramban says, it's for us to even under the influence of these Goyim, of these Greeks, it's for us to stop and to think and to study this and to realize that we could see in this also, we could see the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we go back to our particular subject of our history, so once again, as we mentioned before, our history now, from now on, is not going to be guided by something like a Kriyas Yamsuf or something like the Esa Makis, where we're going to be saved by something that's going to take place that's going to be Lamalam in our Teva. It's going to happen in the Teva. It's going to happen it's going to happen like Purim happened. That's how it's going to happen. And if a person is foolish and he doesn't stop to study what's taking place, so he's not going to see it. He's going to live in the Chayshich, and he's going to live in a matzav of Hester Ponim, like the Pasuk says. But if a person stops to study what's going on in the Bria, and in this day and age, it doesn't take much. We discussed this many, many times. The fact, as the Yavit says in the Siddur, that Klal Yisrael is in existence for 2,000 years in Golus. This itself, the Yavit says, this is the biggest nes bigger than Kriyas Yamsuf. No other nation is around. Every other nation, the tough ones, the big ones, the ones with the kayach, they're gone. And we, you know, with the seh, so we're still here. That itself, and study, I mean, halidavahu, how did this all happen? And as we have the haftoch and the pasuk and chumash, we're here with our Torah. We're here with a massive of people that are maimin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all that we've gone through. That itself, you have to study this. It doesn't make sense. Al piderech hateva, none of this makes sense. How could such a thing possibly exist? So a person has to stop in this matzav of Hester Ponim. He has to stop and to study it, just like he has to study the natural sciences and to see the ruchnis, the gekoyach that's there. He has to stop and study, I guess what you call the natural history, and stop and study and realize the koyach, the hashgacha, that's found there also. Rabbi Isai, in the time that we live in today, it's unbelievable, and I'm sure every one of us feels this. I think I mentioned this once. I once took a blank piece of paper, a blank map, where it doesn't have drawn out the different countries, just has the continents drawn out, and it doesn't show you where the different countries are. And I handed it out, and I asked everybody to find me Eretz Yisrael. And I won't tell you the results, because the truth of the matter is that Eretz Yisrael is so small that when you look on a world map, it's almost hilarious. I don't know if there's any other word to use. If you look on a world map, and you know they have every country is a different color. So if you follow through the news of the day, you know, for the last who knows how many years, so every day there's this country that's driving everybody crazy, that's called Eretz Yisrael, and this is going on now for years and years and years. So you think that this country must be a huge country, and it must be a country that has tremendous kaiches. Everybody wants it, and everybody is fighting over it. And so we go look for this country. Where is it? And we can't find it. And the reason we can't find it is because the color that the man who made the map for Eretz Yisrael lands up to be like a dot. It's a dot, not much bigger than a dot on the map. So, and all the countries around it, the countries that want to swallow up Eretz Yisrael, so they have a whole, their colors we could see. They're very obvious, and they're very bright colors. And he came. This little piece of ground, they have so much, and there's so much empty space, and they need this too. So must be the only answer we can come up with is, well, it must be that in this little country there's tremendous natural resources. Must be there's a lot of gold and silver, and maybe they have the richest deposit of oils that are there. So everybody wants it. So we go and we read up about what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, and we find out there's nothing. No oil, no gold, no silver. A couple of tomatoes that we export from time to time with oranges, Kemen Abyssal, you can get from Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, but when the Eden weren't there, you couldn't even get an orange in Eretz Yisrael. The land was so desolate. So who needs it? So forget it. Go do something else. Go fight with a country that has what to offer. What's up is everybody is all busy with Eretz Yisrael. From that alone, a person could stop and to think, something's going on. Something very, very important is found in Eretz Yisrael. And Nebuch, if we don't see it, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam is showing us that the whole world sees it. Maybe they don't know what they're seeing, and maybe they themselves don't know why it's important. But somehow, the neshama of everybody in the world is telling them, you get that piece of land, because it's important for everybody to have. And I think that itself is a tremendous lesson where we could see the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, the koyach of Ruchnius that's found in the Bria. Before we leave the subject, I think that this also is an explanation in this other Gemara in Yuma that I gave you. Okay, you have the same Amid of the Gemara in Yuma. And the Gemara says, if you look towards the last third of the Gemara, so the Gemara says like this. The Gemara once again talks about the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim. Okay, and I underline the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Lama Nikra Shmon Anshei Knesset HaGdolim. Why is it that this, again, this is the Tkufa that was found after the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, during Golus Bavel, into the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, why are they called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim? So the Gemara says, Sheichziru Atara LeYoshna. What does that mean? Return the crown to its former position. What does that mean? Ofsa Moshe V'Omar HaKel HaGadol HaGibor V'Hanoyr. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanoyr. And we're just sort of going to insert over here pshat in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that we're able to see Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanoyr. Also Yirmiyah V'Omar. So Yirmiyah came along and said, we can't say this anymore because Nachrim Mekarkarim Behecholoi. Now that you have the Goyim that are found, that they're going around in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, okay, Yirmiyah was in the time of the Churban, so Ayei Neiroisav. So where is the Neirois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, of course, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Neir, but we can't see it. And if we can't see it, we can't say it. Lo Yomar Neir. Also, Daniel V'Omar, Nochrim Mishtabdim B'Bonov, if the Goyim are putting us in are being mishabed us, they're enslaving us, so ayeg v'raisav. So how could we possibly say the Lashon of Gibor if we don't see in the Bria the Gvura that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lo yomar Gibor. So they took out the words Gibor and Noira from, I don't know if they didn't take it out of the Torah, but they took it out of the Tefillah. Also, Inu v'amru. So now, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, they came along and they said, and we have to understand, Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, we're not bigger than Yirmiyah, not bigger than Daniel, but the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim came along and they said, Adarabba, Zuhi Gvurasai, Gvurasai Shekevish Es Yitzrei Shenoisen Erech HaPayim L'Rishoyim. And if you look in the Rashi that I put down on the side, Zui gvurasei shekevish yitzchoy kol hashonim halolu shenishtabdu behem umarech apay al kol ha'gzeire shegeizim albonav. So when we talk about the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be able to see in the Hester Ponim. In the Hester Ponim, there we are going to see the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara goes further. Ve'elu heim noi roisav, shil molei moirei shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heich uma achas yichayil lizkayim bein ha'umas. If it wouldn't be for the moira that they have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could an umma possibly exist between all of the umas? Now we have to understand that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they weren't, what they were mechadish was, that now, that's Gibor. And now that's Noira. There was a time when Gibor and Noira was experienced by people by seeing the Nisim v'Neflois that were Keseder around us. But Mehayoyim v'Hola, that's not how we're going to see the Gibor and the Noira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, this is the Yesod of Purim. This is the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and this is their Avoda. The survival of Klal Yisrael and Golus. The Gibor v'Noira that's found Toich Hester Ponim, Toich Golus. And this is a different kind of a Gibor v'Noira, and this is, and the acknowledgement and the recognition of this Gibor v'Noira is something that this is the challenge that's put in front of us that we have to recognize. So, in Yirmiyahu's time, it was taken out, because in Yirmiyahu's time, that wasn't the type of Gibor and Neira that was supposed to have been seen. Nebuch, it was the time of the Golus. In the time of Daniel, that wasn't the type of Gibor and Neira that was supposed to have been seen. But after that period of time, when we come into the period of Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said, this is our Avoda of recognizing Gibor and Neira, studying our Matzev in Golus, studying our survival, studying all that goes on around us, and therefore now we say the Lashon of Gibor v'Noira in the Matzav of Hester Ponim that's all around us. Okay, so this now, again, prepares us for what we're going to see and we're going to bring up again and again. And this ties together with what we said before, that the Tkufa of the second Beis Hamikdash is a hachana for the Golus. Okay, here we have one instance of the hachana for the Golus. The chazara of this concept, the chizuk in this concept of seeing the neirois and the gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, realizing the hashgacha and everything that we've discussed within the matzav of Hester Ponim, this had to be implanted in Klal Yisrael in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and was implanted in Klal Yisrael in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, starting with the efforts of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, continuing with the efforts of the Tannoim, and that prepared us that we're able to survive through the Golus that we live in today. And next time, Yetzer Hashem, we're going to discuss other hachonas that were made, that were started by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and that continued in the time of the Tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash.